terrific. Natalie, Shana, thank you so much for inviting us out.
Thank you.
And I think people will need to know exactly where Out is. So where are we in this majestic, beautiful spot?
So we are at Henry Ranch Vineyard, which is kind of a small hidden gem in Pope Valley. We are kind of behind Howell Mountain and between Etna Springs on the other side. And we're on a hillside. It's kind of a gentle slope, so not extremes, but you get a little bit of the advantage of being on a hill, good drainage and all that.
And Pope Valley seems to be enjoying this renaissance, if you will, and everyone's like, oh, it's new. I'm like, oh, no.
it's very old.
It's very old. And so it's what's old again is now new, but this place has been producing some world-class fruit for over 100 years.
Yes.
Is that what drew you to this?
Well, partially, yes, but a lot of it was the specificity of this particular vineyard, what we have growing here. If you can see behind you, these Chenin Blanc vines, they're really special. You're not going to find something else just like this in the Napa Valley anywhere. These very old vines that have been here for such a long time, creating this really complex Chenin Blanc. That in particular is why we came here.
That's a good reason to come, especially because you're right. You don't find aged Chenin virtually anywhere, mm-hmm. for that matter. But what brought you two together to form Guderian?
Well, it was a simple text from Shana. do you want to partner on a wine label? And I said yes immediately. And said she couldn't take it back if she didn't intend to text me.
But so once it's out there, you're like, oh, now I have to follow up on it?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, I need her to keep me accountable.
But basically, we both love wine. Shana had been in the business for years, and I had always been very vocal with Shana about how much I admired how she's, you know, gone through the ranks so quickly. And I have always loved wine. And so when the moment was ready for Shana, I was ready to pounce and ride her coattails.
And what year was that? When did you decide to...
That was 2017.
Take the leap in 2017. And where are you now from a case production standpoint?
Compared to where we were in 2017, we've come really far, but we're still really tiny.
Good. Yeah.
So we started with just Pinot Noir and Chenin Blanc. Mm-hmm. We now have added Cabernet Sauvignon to our portfolio, which is this vineyard block right over here.
Okay.
And we also make a rosé from our Pinot Noir. Oh, we make a Chardonnay from Carneros. And our case production is all the way up to a little over 600 cases a year.
That's more than a hobby. So that's nothing to sneeze at. And where do you want to take it?
We're aiming for about 3,000 cases. So we want to grow slowly and thoughtfully. And, you know, we have to learn how to keep up with the production as we go. So we don't want to just explode to 3,000 cases next year. So we're scaling a little bit every year.
Well, and one of the things I love about the mission is the component and addition of food to it, and, mm-hmm. and how special that is. And so, Natalie, I think you've written the book on food and nutrition, and can bring that component. Talk to us a little bit about kind of the element of food and wine.
Well, getting back just to even the name Guderian means to gather. And so when you think of wine, you want to gather around a table, around a meal with friends and family. And so with wine, food is like such a big part of it. And our wines are very food friendly. And I've always been into cooking and into sharing food with my friends and family. And after I, you know, quote unquote, retired from swimming, I wrote a cookbook, Cook to Thrive. And I love the process of creating a recipe and pairing it. And a lot of our wines pair really nicely with some of my recipes. So it's kind of fun.
So Cook to Thrive, is there a chapter in there about 7 cups of coffee and bacon for breakfast?
Nothing like that.
This morning's breakfast is out.
Yeah, but but it was all, that cookbook is all about balance in your life. And,
okay.
and so often people ask me like, well, you went to 3 Olympics and how did wine fit into that? Like you must have given it up. And I never did. When I was of drinking age, I still enjoyed a glass of wine with my meal, but, you know, just did so in moderation. I wasn't having a full bottle in training. So I would fit it into a healthy lifestyle.
And now, Shana, you actually have been involved in the Valley for a long, long time, worked with some very, very famous winemakers and producers. And is it part of the puzzle to be able to say, okay, I know this vineyard block, and then you text Natalie, and then reach out, and is it just the whole putting the pieces together to produce the wine that you're after?
I definitely think it is. I mean, we're coming from a startup winery from a little bit of a different place than a lot of people come from, because we have a little bit more access. I've worked with a whole bunch of different growers in the valley, a whole bunch of different very talented winemakers who have been mentors to me. So, you know, if we need to figure something out, there's somebody I can call and figure it out. And there's certain things that I've learned about winemaking from winemakers that I think, okay, this is amazing. What if I did this, but with fruit from this vineyard? And now we have the opportunity to like make that happen and kind of learn from other winemakers' mistakes. And then we don't have to do that. We don't have to make those mistakes.
It's a tried and trusted approach. Stand on the shoulders of giants.
Exactly.
I mean, it kind of works, especially in this valley. What would surprise people in the concept phase to actually producing a product to sell that you didn't think of from a standpoint of going, never thought about that from starting a business?
Oh my gosh. I mean, this, everything has been a surprise to me, because this was my first introduction into the winemaking side of things. I was always a big fan.
Big fan of the consumption side.
But I had no idea what went into it. Everything. It's been challenging since 2017 just because of all the fires that we've had.
Mother Nature
has been rough. And even just our first harvest was challenging. We harvested our Pinot Noir during a massive heat spike on Labor Day weekend. And it was like all hands on deck. Like, let's get this picked before it's 115 degrees. I think the flexibility of it, being able to pivot, has been a really good learning opportunity for us.
I think the pick aspect is something that most people don't recognize, because in the Midwest, you talked about, you know, Iowa or Ohio rather, and I came from ag farm country in the Midwest. Corn and soybeans, they aren't calling the pick for corn and soybeans. But for wine, when you call the pick, you got to go.
Yeah.
And it could be 1 o'clock in the morning and stuff like that. And, you know, I think that is white knuckle time. Anything there that is troubling from a standpoint of?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's in an ideal world, we could, you know, taste through the vineyard and say, aha, perfect phenolic ripeness, let's pick it right now. And then get a crew in at 2 a.m. and do a cold pick. But it's labor dependent, it's transportation dependent, it's tank dependent, what we have available. So there's a lot of things that you have to juggle. And now it's weather dependent too. So, you know, we will have a range of when we want to pick our fruit in mind. And I could plan 2 weeks in advance that very likely this will be the pick date. But if we're going to get a heat spike or a rain event is coming or a new fire erupts, then we have to change our plan. And we have to change our plan for the life of the wine, because the pick decision dictates what you're going to have to work with for the rest of the year. So it's really important getting it as right as you possibly can.
Well, if what's in my glass is the statement after 600 cases, the journey to 3,000 is going to be fantastic.
Thank
you. We're thankful. Cheers,
cheers
to that.
Cheers.